Could COVID vaccines go open source? I'm David Brancaccio. In a major switch, the Biden administration is joining other countries to try to waive intellectual property protections for coronavirus vaccines. Marketplace's Kristen Schwab's on the line. Kristen, start us with some context.
This World Trade Organization proposal was started by India and South Africa and has been circulating since last fall. It would allow other drug makers access to vaccine manufacturers' secret recipe, if you will. And until now, the U.S. had been a major holdout. But Biden's approval doesn't necessarily mean a waiver will move forward.
Well, what would it take to push this forward?
Changing international property rules requires unanimous agreement from WTO nations. The European Union still isn't on board, and even if it does join, there will be lots of negotiation. Then there's the pharmaceutical industry, which is not happy about the proposal. It argues that these rules protect the quality of the vaccines against counterfeits, and that waiving them ultimately threatens future pharmaceutical developments by disincentivizing the risk and innovation that goes into creating costly new drugs.
You know, Kristen, we've had reporting here that knowing the ingredients of a vaccine doesn't mean other companies would have access to the production skills required to actually make the stuff.
Yeah, I know I called it a recipe earlier, but making vaccines is not like following a set of instructions. Supply chains have to be smoothed out to make sure manufacturers have the materials they need. And then there's the sort of institutional knowledge piece. The patent holders will have to actually send workers to other manufacturers to make sure they understand the technical intricacies that go into making these vaccines.
Kristen Schwab, thank you. People are getting hired. There's new data this morning implying that, and tomorrow even harder data on who is getting onto payrolls and households where people are looking for work. This is the day we have a standing appointment with a noted economist, Diane Swonk, the chief of such matters at the tax and advisory firm Grant Thornton. Welcome, Diane.
Good morning.
We tend to talk on Thursdays here, and throughout the pandemic, I would call you, and it would be one miserable employment statistic after another. Labor market was so bad. It's trending now the right way, at least here in the U.S., right?
Oh, finally, yes. We're finally seeing less than 500,000 initial unemployment claims. Who would have thought we'd be popping champagne corks over that? It finally is moving in the right direction consistently, and it looks like momentum is really sticking this time, something so much waited for and such a relief from where we were. It felt like a sucker punch every Thursday morning when I'd see those terrible unemployment claims a year ago.
And imagine what it feels if you're one of those in those statistics. Now, tomorrow, the official jobs, hiring, and unemployment reports for the month of April come out. We could see a strong number there, too.
Yes, we could. I'm looking for a little over 700,000, but we could easily exceed a million. And this is the time in the cycle when things shift, when you tend to find upward revisions to the back month data, too. So we could see March come in stronger than a million. It came close to a million in the month of March. That's because when momentum shifts, we miss it on the first cut. And that's a wonderful place to be, to realize you've even created more jobs. And it just feels better to be healing instead of adding insult to injury as we were in the middle of the winter.
Diane Swonk at the tax and advisory firm Grant Thornton, chief economist there. Thank you.
Thank you.
Key stock indexes are off to a mixed start. The Dow at the moment is up 51 points, less than 0.2%. The S&P is down 5 points, 0.1%. The NASDAQ is down 0.5%. The Russell 2000 index of smaller companies is down 0.1%. The 10-year interest rate pretty steady, below 1.58%. With much of the New York metro region opening businesses to full capacity in less than 2 weeks, there's now a date for turning on the lights on Broadway, September 14th. Tickets start going on sale today. Asked if theatergoers will have to be vaccinated, the New York governor says the theater owners will decide based on conditions in September. Plant-based burgers, plant-based milk, now to plant-based car tires. There's a long tradition. Rubber, if it's not synthetic, comes from trees, especially for heavy-duty gear, including truck and airplane tires. The natural stuff is often preferred. Thousands of plant species can produce what goes into real rubber, yet the industry's become precariously focused on a single tree. Now, as Daniel Ackerman reports, some big-name tire makers are moving to diversify.
In southern Arizona, Bill Nayura strolls through a field of knee-high shrubs.
If you think of a tumbleweed, you might be fairly close.
These desert plants are called huayule.
It's the gateway to a domestic North American rubber industry.
Nayura is head of sustainable materials for Bridgestone. This experimental field is part of the tire maker's push to shore up its plant-based rubber supply. Right now, the industry relies on just one species, scientific name Hevea brasiliensis, but it's barely cultivated in Brazil.
Primarily grown in Southeast Asia, Malaysia, Indonesia, Thailand.
That's because fungal disease decimated the plant in its native South America over a century ago. Scientists worry the plantations in Asia face similar risks today.
Well, it's really a sourcing security motivation for us.
Industry-wide, that motivation is only getting stronger, thanks to a pandemic that's walloped supply chains.
One of the things we learned in 2020 was that, you know, sourcing close to home, it's more important than ever.
Colleen McMahon is a scientist with the U.S. Department of Agriculture. She's working to genetically modify huayule to boost rubber output. She points out the plant has a long history.
Huayule rubber was known to indigenous people in Mexico centuries ago.
And during World War II, the U.S. military used homegrown huayule tires when Japan blocked rubber exports from Asia. But when the war ended, huayule fell by the wayside. It couldn't compete on cost. But now?
The biology revolution is here, and the tools that we have today, we didn't have 10 years ago. We certainly didn't have at the time of World War II.
Huayule isn't the only plant in this race for a new rubber source. Continental Tire is test driving a species of dandelion. McMahon says the new generation of tires could hit the road in about 5 years. I'm Daniel Ackerman for Marketplace.
The Biden administration is now rolling back a Trump-era rule that had made it easier for companies to classify gig workers as independent contractors not entitled to some of the benefits of being a fully fledged employee, things like minimum wage or overtime pay. From the Workplace Culture Desk, Marketplace's Megan McCarty-Carino has more.
The Trump rule was supported by gig platforms like Uber, Lyft, and DoorDash. By rolling it back, the Biden administration has put the companies on the defensive and cleared the path for more aggressive moves, says Brian Chen, an attorney with the National Employment Law Project.
The Department of Labor could put out guidance saying, we think Uber drivers are employees.
Gig companies rely on keeping their workers as independent contractors. But Krista Mitzel, an employment law attorney in San Francisco, says she's not surprised the Biden administration is moving to shore up worker protections.
It's just going to be interesting how that plays out. You know, our states have very disparate opinions on labor laws and employee protections and minimum wage requirements.
For example, gig companies spent $200 million last year to pass a ballot measure in California that allows them to continue classifying their workers as contractors. I'm Megan McCarty-Carino for Marketplace.
And Microsoft has made a pledge to European customers, if you store your data on our remote computers, the cloud, your info will stay in the EU. Europe has strict data privacy rules, and among key concerns is that the U.S. government might peek at sensitive European information. Much will happen throughout the day on our money, markets, workplace culture, and innovation beats, and more. Listen for my colleague, Kai Rizdahl, host of Marketplace on many public radio stations, or streamable from the website, marketplace.org. I'm David Brancaccio with our morning report. From APM, American Public Media.